Welcome to your weekly English radio magazine on CJMQ 88.9 FM in Sherbrooke and CIDI 99.1 FM in the Lake Brome area. It's the Friday Drive, news commentary, 30-30 sports, arts and culture, and the interview of the week. Local events and issues for townshippers from townshippers. The Friday Drive starts right now with your host, Daniel Coulomb. 30-30 Sports on the Friday Drive.
All right, starting the show off 4:30 with John Edwards. How are you, my friend?
So far, so good. How are you?
I cannot believe we're nearly in December. Come on, give me a break.
I know. Where did this year go?
Oh, it's crazy. All right, John, three games in the NFL yesterday. What did you make of Chicago's time management at the end of that game?
Andy Reid is spinning in the vat of barbecue sauce they keep him in. That is just appalling. Like, how do you get to be a coach at that level? You waste 20 seconds on third down. You know, running the clock out on the third down play, don't even get to fourth down, and leave town with a timeout in your pocket. Like, when you could have fairly easily set yourself up for, at the very least, a field goal to tie the game. Like, he should not be buying green bananas.
Field goal was iffy at best because the Bears don't have the best kicker. But still, to see the game run out that way, it was just awful.
If you don't like your chances of field goal and you know, you take the timeout, you work something, you take a shot deep and then see what you can do, or you run the ball and or you get to the line quickly, run the ball quickly, get a few more yards, try to make give your kicker a better shot at it, take the timeout and kick it. See what happens.
An amazing turn of events. What do you like this coming weekend?
Chargers Falcons, which is I think on TSN at 1 o'clock, looks pretty good. I think LA is sort of settling in under Jim Harbaugh, and they've got to try and keep pace in the wild card race. I think the division is lost to them at this point since they're 7-4, but they've got, you know, and the Falcons have been playing reasonably well, and that division is not great, so they'll be trying to stay towards the top of that as well. 4 o'clock, I think that Eagles Ravens game looks really, really good. Both those defenses are very good, so I'm looking forward to that one. Niners-Bills could be interesting for all sorts of reasons.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at the forecast. Facing a winter storm with a half foot of lake effect snow and 30 miles per hour winds. Oh, man.
It really isn't a season in Buffalo if there isn't one game affected by lake effect snow. It's the best.
I would think so. Daniel Jones signs in Minnesota. Is Daniel Jones the deal, or is the Giants just a big fat mess?
Could be both, and we may be about to find out. I mean, obviously, nothing much changed with the great Tommy DeVito at quarterback, so some of it is the Giants, and we'll see if, for Daniel Jones, if the new atmosphere in Minnesota is the answer for him to sort of rejuvenate his career, because Minnesota's been sort of putting it together with the quarterback of the week, it seems, so, you know, a chance for him to show that he isn't as bad as he appeared in New York, kind of a career rebound like Baker Mayfield's had this year in Tampa.
Absolutely. All right, to the CFL, and speaking of quarterbacks, Davis Alexander becomes the chosen one from the Alouettes.
Yeah, we talked a couple of weeks ago about how they were going to have to make a choice going into the season because you don't want a quarterback controversy, and they've done that. So they've signed Alexander for 3 years, deciding that the 3 years that they've put into developing him, they don't want those benefits to go to a different team. So this is one of these moves that for Danny Machocha is either going to, you know, if it works, you can start making his bust because he's going in the Hall of Fame. If it doesn't, the unemployment line forms on the right.
I know. This begs the question, what now with Cody Fajardo?
I assume that they will look to trade him and bring in a younger backup. I don't think you want a youngish quarterback like Alexander going into camp with an established starter sort of looking over his shoulder, kind of there lurking. So I think they'll look for a landing spot for Fajardo. Calgary might have been one of those, but they just traded for Vernon Adams, so possibly Hamilton might make some sense.
Yeah, this is the disadvantage with the CFL only having 8 other teams to deal with.
Yeah, you do kind of run out of spots pretty quickly.
I understand what you're saying. All right, talk to you at 5:30.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Of course there's music, but we also talk about a lot of issues that matter to you. You're listening to The Friday Drive on CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM.
Saturday morning, jumped out of bed and put on my best suit. Got in my car and raced like a jet all the way to you. Knocked on your door with heart in my head to ask you a question, 'cause I know that you're an old-fashioned man, man, man. Can I have your daughter for the rest of my life? Say yes, 'cause I need to know. You say I'll never get your blessing till the day I die. Tough luck, my friend, but the answer is no. You leave no choice, can't live without her. Love me or hate me, we will be boys standing at that altar. Or we will run away to another galaxy. You know, you know she's in love with me. She will go anywhere I go. Can I have your daughter for the rest of my life? Say yes, 'cause I need to know. Say I'll never get your blessing till the day I die. Tough luck, my friend, 'cause the answer's still no. Why you gotta be so rude? Don't you know I'm human too? Why you gotta be so rude? I'm gonna marry you anyway. Marry that girl. Marry you anyway. Marry that girl. No matter what you say. Marry that girl. And we'll be your family. I need to know. You say I'll never get your blessing till the day I die. Tough luck, my friend, but no still means no.
The Weekly News Review with longtime Townships journalist Mike McDevitt on The Friday Drive.
Well, it's the Weekly News Review. You've been looking forward to this all week long. I know you. Mike McDevitt is in the radio this time every week on The Friday Drive. Hello there.
How you been?
I've been okay. Michael, here we go again. Brace yourself for 4 years of this, folks. It started with Donald Trump. he's leveled his most severe threat against Canada in years, warning that on his first day in office, he might impose a punishing economic sanction across North America. As a matter of fact, the U.S. president-elect threatened to slap 25% tariffs on all products entering the country from Canada and Mexico unless the two countries curbed the flow of drugs and migrants across the borders. The tariff will remain in effect until such time as fentanyl and all illegal aliens stop the invasion of the United States. Both Mexico and Canada have the absolute right and power to easily solve this long simmering problem, he says. Michael, there you go. That's what happens when you draw up your economic policies on the back of a cocktail napkin. Is he bluffing? Won't this hurt U.S. citizens as well?
I believe, honestly, he wants to get rid of the current free trade agreement that we have in North America, the most perfect one that he negotiated. Tariffs never do anybody any good. The last time the Americans tried that, they call it the Great Depression. That didn't do any good. So I guess they have to learn the lesson all over again.
Would a retaliation from Canada be necessary in your view, and tit for tat? I don't even want to imagine where that's going to lead us.
Trade wars don't work. Now, a lot of premiers are saying we got to go and play along with this. I think it should be resisted. I think it should be demonstrated to the Americans just how much this is going to cost them. You know, the price of housing is going to go up about 25% because most of their lumber is imported. You know, it's not like the Canadians or Mexicans are putting Americans out of business so much as there's not enough American stuff to do what they want to do. Their televisions are going to be more expensive. Their computers are going to be more expensive. Their houses are going to be more expensive. I honestly think he's trying to negotiate a better deal because I have a hard time believing this guy is as stupid as he appears. Boy, that's a hard belief to hold on to. Jeez.
I know. What did you think of Premier Legault's comment this week that he thought Trump wasn't off track, that there are an awful lot of migrants going through the Quebec-U.S. border?
Mexico has cut down the flow of illegals by about 75%. If you're wanting more than that, you should probably try to curb the trade in guns and do something domestically about the drug problem, because this is all fueled by American vices, their addiction to guns, which they trade for the drugs.
You bring up a really good point. This is pure Republican stuff. Here we are talking about drugs, but guns, not part of the conversation.
They're not paying attention to the reality of the situation. The cartels in Mexico couldn't get a hold of the drugs. The Mexican army might have a better chance to get a hold of the guns, I should say. This is a cesspool that's driven by the United States, which is a problem. The ingredients to make it are freely available. They come in from China. Now, a lot of it's made in Canada. That's true. It can be just as easily made in the States.
It's also sad. All right. In this country, the federal Liberals have come up with a 2-month-long GST holiday. Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland says 2-month GST holiday is meant to help Canadians after multiple budget shocks from high inflation after COVID-19. Holiday affects dozens of items commonly purchased at Christmas time, including children's clothing and toys, video games and consoles, Christmas tree, restaurants and catered meals, wine, beer, candy and snacks. The government says someone spending $2,000 on such items over the 2-month period will save between $100 and $260. Now, federally, this is going to cost $1.6 billion. Somebody crunched the numbers, Michael, in the paper this week and said something like the average household would save about $4.50 in grocery taxes over the next couple of months, and restaurant savings would amount to about $20. Will this make you vote for the Liberals in the next federal election?
No. No, it won't. I mean, if he was getting rid of the GST entirely, I'd say, okay, that's something I can be happy about, I guess. I just wish that the taxes weren't visible, but that's another argument. No, because it really hurts every time you see on a bill for anything, you see 15% knocked on. It seems like it's a rather desperate ploy. It will make Christmas cheaper. no economic expert, but the statement of $4 is ridiculous. I think it's going to be more than that. I'm getting desperate. That's all I can think of.
Yeah, the suspension of the GST in supermarkets, it's expected to be chaotic. The busiest time of year for them, the holiday season, retailers will need to reprogram their systems to accommodate the measure. This involves recoding more than 4,000 taxable products. You know, I think you hit on something. You know, the better long-term solution, eliminate the GST on grocery food.
What kind of groceries do you pay tax on?
It used to be only various items a few years ago. Now it's on almost everything.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I don't pay attention to that stuff. Unprepared foods like meat and vegetables were not taxed. Those only things like cookies and prepared things.
Now you have GST on pretty much all foods. I might be wrong. Somebody listening to this figures that I am, write in and let us know, but I'm pretty sure it's GST on all foods now sold at grocery stores.
If that's true, then the GST savings on food is a lot more than $4.
Perhaps it is, but I still think this short-term solution, you know what I think, Michael. While I don't want to see Pierre Poilievre, Trump light, take office, I'm so fed up with Trudeau's spending policies and out-of-control deficits. We've talked about this before. I know you don't think it's that bad, but people keep saying this country's in good financial shape. If Trump's tariffs go into effect, real help will be needed for many mom-and-pop shops and Canadian industry to cope with our southern partners' lack of respect.
These tariffs are going to be, if he actually goes through with that, they're going to be hurtful. But they're going to hurt everybody. The immediate damage is to Americans. If you're building a house in the States, it's going to go up 25%. Is that what he's trying to tell people? Because most of the wood comes from Canada. Americans want to hurt that badly just to teach us a lesson, which I'm not quite sure what that lesson is, to stop the massive flow of illegal immigrants into the United States through Canada. Well, I'm not convinced that's actually happening. The crossings in the States have gone down 75%. That's a pretty successful policy, if you ask me. Catering to the fears that he has created in the United States. First of all, if he deports the 10 million people that he wants to, who's going to do the work that Americans don't want to do? Who's going to pick the fruit? Who's going to wash the dishes in the restaurant? Who's going to, you know, landscape? Americans won't do this kind of work.
You're preaching to the choir, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Yeah, I don't know if your basic American wants to hear that.
Trump is a disruptor, and that's what he wants to do, and that's what he's going to do. He's not even in power yet, and he's got all of us crapping in our pants because of what's going to happen. Perhaps calmer heads will prevail, but I'm not sure, because I don't see any calmer heads around. I've taken a look at his cabinet choices, and I thought, oh, my God.
Finish this off. A large-scale survey on the health of young people conducted by the Institut de la Statistique du Québec. 70,800 kids in public and private schools, both French and English, have been polled. Survey is the third of its kind, and basically, most of what it says is kids are drinking a little less, smoking less weed. Girls drink more than boys. Nearly one in four students consumed at least one sugary drink per day. That's not really going up or down. 37% of students consumed junk food from a restaurant or snack bar at least once for lunch during the school week. The proportion of young people who consumed fruits and vegetables decreased by 25%. I would think so, Michael. Did you see the cost of fruits and vegetables? It's a lot cheaper to buy junk stuff.
Yeah, but nobody's eating the junk stuff either.
The proportions aren't going up. They aren't going down either. Here's the most important part of all of this, is young people report being more inactive than in 2016-17, and many fewer young people consider themselves in excellent or good health. A lot of video games and too much screen time.
Thumbs are in good shape from their phones, but other than that, I mean, I'm no expert, but I look around on the bus. Everywhere I look, people are staring at a screen. If that translates, which I'm told it does, into real-time activity, when I was a kid, we had no choice. We went outside and played. You know, that required getting up and moving around and doing stuff. Playing nowadays means turning on the Xbox and sitting there and doing that.
This generation is going to be in least good physical condition than their parents were.
Their behavior is not improving. They're giving their teachers a harder time. Their parents don't seem to think they have to do the job of parenting. I can't say I blame them, because it's not a good situation if you're a kid now. They're going to be the first generation of kids that are going to do worse than their parents. It's not an easy thing to accept, I'm sure.
Michael McDevitt, every week at this time. Thank you, sir.
But how about digging up some good news every once in a while?
I'm trying to. I just can't find any.
Okay, that's what I was afraid of. Good weekend.
Salut.
Bye.
If you have any comments or questions regarding what you hear on today's show, email us at cjmqnews@yahoo.ca. Time for your weekly information from the Lake Brome, Missisquoi area on the Friday Drive.
Taylor McClure reporting from the Brome, Missisquoi region with stories for you. That's right, for you, from this past week. Taylor McClure, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you today, Daniel?
Well, I'm still a little confused as to what I get you for Christmas. Send me a 10-page report in the morning, okay?
Oh, gosh, it's already difficult enough. You don't need to get me anything.
I'll keep that in mind. Thank you very much. All right, Taylor, let's talk about a couple of things and start with the public fundraising campaign from Appalachian Corridor.
Yeah, so conservation organization Appalachian Corridor, in partnership with Nature Conservancy Canada, has launched a public fundraising campaign for one of the most significant, the largest, as it was described to me, conservation project in recent years that the organization has taken on, which is the preservation of Brière Forest. So Brière Forest is 542 hectares, almost 1,340 acres, and it is key for ecological connectivity between northern Vermont and the Sutton Mountains, considering that it's actually situated between two other conservation projects along the Canada-US border, so one on the Vermont side and one on the Quebec side. It's a dead center of these two conservation projects, so now this just links all three of these projects together. Brière Forest is also rich in biodiversity. They found, just within a couple of visits, over 250 plant species just on that one property, and 10 species of wildlife that are at risk, including the wood turtle and different species of bats. The property was actually set for a large-scale development of 70 luxury homes, and this development was taking off at full speed. But somehow the organization, as always, got involved and spoke to the private landowner, and he did a 360 and decided to change his mind. And he's actually making an ecological donation of $7 million as well towards Appalachian Corridor for this project. When it comes to this public fundraising campaign, Appalachian Corridor is calling on the community in hopes of raising $500,000 to complete the transaction with the landowner and to ensure that Brière Forest is conserved. So those looking for more information about the fundraising campaign can actually refer to Appalachian Corridor's website if ever this is of interest to someone in the community.
Okay, browsing CIDI.com, and there's a lot of nice things to look at on that website.
For those who aren't aware, and for those who often visit our website, you may have seen some changes and that our website is looking a little bit differently. CIDI's new website was recently launched, a project that we've been working on in hopes of engaging the community a little bit more with the radio station and making it more mobile friendly for those who use their cell phones. So I just wanted to make people aware who often visit our website. If you're seeing these changes, it's completely normal. We're excited to bring this to the community. So you can find it on the World Wide Web, as always, at CIDI991.com.
Taylor McClure here every week on the Friday Drive at the same time on the same channels. Have a good weekend, and we speak next week.
Yes, you too, Daniel. Thank you.
Conscious weather, periods of snow, low minus 2 tonight. Tomorrow, snow, high minus 1. Saturday night, cloudy, low minus 4. Sunday, clouds, a chance of flurries, high minus 1. And long range for Monday, cloudy, chance of flurries, high of minus 2. Just after 5 o'clock, it's Ed Humphrey with the Townshipper Association report for this week. 5:10 interview of the week, Jennifer Epps from California talks about her dad, Bernard. 5:30 sports with John Edwards. 5:40 arts and culture with Sonia Padno. This week, Derek Bullard to talk about some of the activities in Lenoxville this upcoming weekend. All on the Friday Drive at CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM.